In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I think perhaps if we read the first 21st verses, just to get a little connection at the end. Well, 1 to 21, please, Mr. Paul.
Now, if the church is filled with the gifts, then I would not have blamed them. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, by the way of the wisdom of heaven, even as ye were there. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a person. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are the personages of gifts, not the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with Paul. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now, as God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, are they many members? Yes, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I do not need thee, nor again a head to the feet, I do not need thee. And the best of course is the feet.
Section that we are reading, as we had before us yesterday, is not so much the assembly in public testimony that comes out rather than the first 10 chapters, but the local assembly has assembled together with a view to moving on the one hand for the pleasure of divine persons and for the blessing of instruction one another. We saw yesterday, of course, some of the elements connected with the Lord's Supper. And then we do not know that springing out from that, perhaps in the very spiritual order of things for our apprehension, Christ taking his place in the midst and that place rightly given to him, as though it would open the way for the Spirit of God to come out into more manifest activity with a view to the instruction of those of us who do comprise that circle, and the various gifts needed, of course, are very obviously before us here. I suppose the literal meaning of this opening verse is now concerning spirituals. The thought being that there are certain things, spirituals, that stand in complex distinction to what we commonly call materials. And it is, I understand, in a local company of saints when spiritual elements come to light, these spiritual things, upon which every one of us are absolutely dependent, if we are going to answer for the pleasure of the Lord and the local companies to which we belong.
Would you say that the spirituals are the inwardness of the gifts that are listed in verses 8, 9, and 10?
The point being that we should remember that in tying together in global assembly conditions, that the whole thing is a spiritual conception, that material things in themselves have no part in the matter at all. Whatever is going to be for profit, whether it be for the pleasure of divine persons or the saints, is altogether a spiritual matter. A spiritual. He reminds the master everywhere before the gospel reached him, ye know that ye were Gentiles, just led away. They had no means of asserting what was right or approving whether a thing was right or wrong. They simply believed these fables and were led blindly on to the worship of these idols, not being able to either prove or disprove anything that was told.
The love of power is near to the heart, whether it be converted or unconverted. And in verse 2, we seem to get the counterpiece of the real thing.
They are dumb idols. No expression was given by the idols themselves. They simply believed the tales that they were told. Well, now we may thank God we are in a living, spiritual, divine system, where the God whom we serve is not dumb, nor are those who serve him dumb, nor are the things of God blindly led by that which is dumb. There is obvious manifest spiritual instruction that if we are subject to it, is going to lead us on the things of God, and that's what he's about to open out.
It seems the case, doesn't it, in the history of the testimony, that there's always been a counterfeit of the real thing. In connection with Moses, there was Jannes and Jambres. In connection with the real prophets, there were the false prophets. And right at the close of the dispensation, a good deal of discernment is needed to know what's of God and what's of the demon. The real danger with us today,
yes, I suppose it is. They had gotten to such a low condition that apparently people possessed of evil spirits were taking part publicly in the meetings. That's sure how far they had to run.
That doesn't mean that they were unbelievers.
Well, I don't know. I don't think any man would speak by an evil spirit that was a believer.
Well, now, I'd like to just talk about one last thought. In our own city, we have a good deal of followers, many Gospelists. I don't doubt that a good many of these are real believers, but I think a good deal of the manifestation of power is in the Lord.
But you see, what he tells us here, a man has been standing up, purporting to be prophets, and actually calling down a curse on the name of Jesus. You wouldn't attribute that to a believer, surely?
No, but
That's right. But this is very definitely the day of Christ, calling Jesus a curse. It is at least unsure that is left for us, that should anyone in a natural, I should say, an intelligent country of sins, stand up and begin to speak things derogatory of Christ, we can be absolutely sure the Spirit of God is not in that person.
I fully agree with that, but I think there's the possibility of those taking part, calling attention not to Christ, but perhaps to themselves or to leaders.
That may be, but this verse is far worse than that, you see. This is someone apparently calling a curse upon Jesus himself, obviously, a spirit of a demon.
They're not people that have been deceived. These are people that have had no spiritual knowledge at all.
I think so. Right. We have had the experience, some of us here may remember it, in a meeting where a man spoke at the end of the meeting. He never said a single thing that was wrong, but we detected the man himself wasn't right. Turned out to be also right when we spoke to him at the end. Mark you, he never said anything derogatory, but let's give him credit for that. But we detected at once this man had not a God. These things far worse than that. Had he said one thing derogatory about Christ, he'd have been stopped in the middle of the meeting, right?
Suppose these people, they would be the sins here, they would be shut up to oral ministry, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have the letters of the Apostle. They wouldn't have the New Testament like we have.
Let's
pick
up the
one and
put ourselves.
It would do. Let's do chapter 1. It takes in the whole company to call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I mean, there were some serious things going on in Corinth. He'd already referred to some of them in the opening chapters. We would have seen things couldn't be any worse. But this is worse. I believe this is demonology that has found a place inside the saints of God. And because of their low state, they were unable to deal with it.
Surprising this, you know, because in John's epistle, the apostle says, we have an anointing from the Holy One and know all things. They should have been able, really, shouldn't they, to discern this without even the apostle telling them.
Only this, Mr. Dockley, that in connection with the list of gifts, we do get discerning of gifts as a special gift, don't we?
Discerning spirits.
Wouldn't you say that over and above the general anointing, which is true of the whole company, some men are especially gifted to see through a thing and see the origin of a thing. I would say to follow with one such, especially his facts in connection with the various isms and cults. But I'm still not just quite sure about this matter. You remember how it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, in connection with the Antichrist, all deceivableness. And signs and lying wonders. I just wonder whether.
You notice the character of people you haven't finished up that he deceives. It's a member that not the love of the truth. The other folks he deceives.
Yes, but I just wonder if you don't get that character thing coming to life before the actual event is manifested. And that's what makes me a bit worried about these folks that I'm in contact with.
We don't know, of course, all the people that you have in mind, but here is definitely something you see that a man calling a curse upon Jesus. And at least we are positively told you can be sure that is not by the Spirit of God.
Well, anyway, the background
I think so. We meet saints of God that are deluded in many things, but we generally find they won't say curse on Jesus. I will have fallen astray the mind of God.
That's quite
bad,
a little bit.
Yes,
it is. Might
bother the same. However, it was a check, and apparently we needed it. To be sure of this, that on the one hand, no one speaking by the Spirit of God would say curse on Jesus, as anathema is the word we know of given in the margin. But on the other hand, the proof of anyone was speaking by the Spirit would be to warn the Lordship of Christ.
You know,
might find it difficult to find a saint that didn't go to the Lordship of Christ. But these spirits of that we did not. We know that one day they will call Jesus Lord, but only under divine compulsion, as the second of Ephesians assures us. And they won't do it till divinely compelled.
Is there what you think an instruction here that the Spirit is called the Holy Spirit?
Oh, well, I don't know that. Yes, I'm sure it is. Because that's why it is. In contrast to these evil spirits, you see, coming in and out there. I think they were. Yes, they were spiritually acting up to deserve the thing because of their own condition.
This calling Jesus Lord here is its sincerity and reality.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We do have to come to the Lord from one to the gospel. That is when they outside the shed door, they say, Lord, Lord, there is a man in thy presence.
Right.
And outside, but this right. Here is sincerity and truth.
Oh yes, that's as far as the individual is concerned. Yes, quite.
Perhaps it isn't just quite so easy, I think, sometimes, as we mentioned. In the days of Jeremiah, those false prophets, they were a real bother to those who were genuine. Even Micaiah, he had 450 opponents, didn't he?
Right. We may say, of course, that while there may be those who merely as a matter of profession will take the name of the Lord upon their lips. That means, as you said, a matter of profession. Yet this is something worse than that. It isn't only that they won't take it as a matter of profession, they're definitely opposed to the thing altogether. There's some use, as you say, yeah.
Yes. See, Judas continued for 3 years and has still needed the Lord to point him out as being false. The other disciples.
Matter of fact, that's a rather good example, you know. For Judas never called him Lord. Never called him Lord. Yes, Master, teacher, wasn't it? Yes.
Such as Unitarians, and that we just speak of it the last.
The only point one was speaking was to open up our eyes and alert us that this is a real danger for us as well as for the Corinthians. We're not going to just delegate this chapter to something of historical interest. This is right, bang, right up to date to interest and instruct us today.
This is very close to God, and God made the world.
Angels of light.
The saying that Jesus is Lord doesn't suggest an understanding of him as Lord.
I think this is manifest active gift being exercised that everybody can take cognizance of it. And as you say, that comes from a heart that is subject to the Lord. And as the Spirit of God would use that vessel, if we remember the term, the Holy Spirit of God would use that vessel, it is bound, of course, at all times to give Christ his rightful place, Lordship, in the assembly. Being said that while he is not Lord of the assembly, not said to be such, he's definitely Lord in the assembly. And so, to know what is right and wrong, that we might recognize what these things are, he says that adversity is a gift there. It isn't that everything is precisely the same. No, no, we have to remember there's diversities of things here. Differences. But whatever the difference may be in the gift itself, there's no difference in the spirit that is the power behind that gift. Same spirit. Why should I listen to you in a meeting? Why should you listen to me in a meeting? So we might say about any one of us, that's what this is pointing out. Because the Spirit will prompt you to speak, will prompt me to speak. It's the same Spirit behind it all.
We are told, aren't we, concerning the eternal space, that God is there. You get the expression, God or in all. Remarkable thing, isn't it, that you get the very same expression in connection with a vessel down here walking through this wilderness. God or in all. If we're to perhaps elevate the possibilities of our meetings together, if we could give place to a God who not only will fill eternity, but also fill our little meetings when we come together in obedience to these words. What does it say in relation to distinction of gifts, the same Spirit, distinctions of service, the same Lord, of operations, the same God?
I think this is a wonderful triune here. It is not, I suppose, to teach us about the triunity of God, but the triunity of God shines out abundantly clear in these three verses. Is not the simple thought in verse 4 that if any movement that is going to be for the profit of the saints of God is made, it must be made on the part of the Spirit of God? That's the first thing. Not only must it be in the power of the Spirit of God, it must be under the control of the Lord. And if it is in the power of the Spirit of God, and under the control of the Lord, what it effects will be an effect from God himself, who worketh all things in all people. There are the two words I can bring here. All things in all people. I think we can be thankful for the measure in which we see these things today. Spiritual gift. And bowing in subjection to the Lord in the use of that gift. And if it does come out under his administration, under the Lord's hand, what a profit it is both for God and for each one of us concerned in. Primarily God here, who worketh all things in all people.
This same Spirit would be in contrast to the God's many and the Lord's many of the 8th chapter, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's it.
It would bind the saints together in unity.
That's why I said a little earlier, after all, we don't meet each other. Why should I listen to you? Why do you listen to me? Well, I tell you, the Spirit is in your heart as well as the Spirit is in mine. And here we are, quite prepared to accept from one another the various services that the Lord has committed to each one of us.
You're not stretching verse 6 out, are you, outside of the Christian
world? Oh, no, I wasn't.
I was just wondering what you had in mind when you said all and all people.
That's right. Well, it's the whole company, I think the Christian company. I mean, whether it's you, me, or anyone else, whether it's God working all things in every one of us. No, I don't think this goes outside the Christian circle.
Would you mind giving us a little more light on the gift? Service, the operations. What are they and how do they work?
Well, that word for diversity and differences is the same word actually in distinctions. It is only to show that we don't always all say the same thing in the same terms and at the same time. I think we live long enough, we look around at any company like this, some of us have moved together nearly 40 years. I recognize certain things in certain brethren. I think, well, I miss it, I've got a gift for a certain thing, and I'm very conscious that I have not. You may say that brother doesn't know me, oh yes, I think that brother's got a gift on, so you know, he's a great help to us there, you see. But, what shall we do what he does? But my will is not there, my work somewhere else. I think that's important, this.
It's a gift.
Oh, it's a gift, oh, it's a spiritual gift.
It's a gift.
Oh, yes, it's a charisma, is the word. It's an endowment, a spiritual endowment from God himself. It's a matter of education, as we often speak together. We don't need to go to school to learn spiritual gifts. No, the Spirit gives him. What we do need to learn, if I speak for myself, is to come to the meetings and observe the way these things are moving in the meetings, and find that I eventually find out what I'm doing. That's the only school that I would suggest to open.
The gift services, the gift working out.
I think it is. That's the point. What's the good of having a gift if you had a gift for us here and you sat at home? What's the good of it to us? Get into the circle where the thing is needed and get on with it. Isn't that the point in the service?
And the operations is the guidance.
Well, operation is a work effected, actually. That's what it means, a work effected. That is, something is produced as a result of that gift being an activity. A work is effected.
You give us a little of the difference between the gifts and the gold and the efficient.
Well, now, Mr. Dudley has already reminded us that he is primarily local company, and it is the Spirit of God here that gives the gifts. In Romans, when I said the testimony in the world is more impure, it is God that gives the gifts. And where it is being in Ephesians 4, the building up of the assembly is the body of Christ, it's Christ that gives the gifts. As it is the objective impurity of this, here is where the beautiful local company of saints being able to function together, and everyone who is rightly in that company has the Spirit of God in their hearts. And hence the Spirit will impress one another with certain things needed in the company that unify together we might be helped with one another. We don't get the headship of Christ here. It is more the vessel that the Spirit is active in, and not by the body through whom Christ is active. All these things are true in their own setting, of course, but this is the Spirit locally in the company.
So, if there is any power that we think is lacking in the assembly today, this is where we're going to see it, isn't it? If there's going to be a little power in the assembly, this is where we're going to see it. I was thinking of the verse in 2 Timothy 1. God has not given to us the spirit of cowardice, but of power. And I think we have it here, but these three chapters go together, don't they? 12, 13, and 14. Power, love, and wise discretion.
That's what that word operation means, of effective power.
And of course, God is behind all that.
Why? You think people might say that you're going to affect the thing. See, the Spirit of God is here. There'll be somebody quite capable of affecting it if the way is open.
The problem with these players is that here we get into the inwardness.
Oh, yes, no,
I think so. Yes. And I think what I'm seeing currently is that this word, Holy Spirit, this is our holy matter. It's an august company, but there's a divine power, the Holy Spirit, that is adequate to accomplish all that is needed in that local company. Holy Spirit.
Has each one of that company a gift in some measure?
According to this, it seems as though that's true. To one this, to another that. Mark you, what is here obviously coming out is the public service in regard to the local company, and their sufficient ability if a company is in right conditions. There ought to be sufficient ability. I say ought from our side, not from the Spirit side, I'm persuaded it's there, but there ought to be that available if everybody is doing their part in that local company. In fact, that's the very thing we're coming on to in verse 7. You see, it's the manifestation of the Spirit, that's it. And you may be ever so well taught and ever so useful in a company. But as we've said, if you sit there down when something is needed, well, you might as well not be there at all. It's the manifestation that's going to profit.
I remember a sister in a certain meeting looking down at this list of gifts, deciding that she didn't fit into any of them. But eventually she came to the little word helps. And she said, well, now I can't do much, but I can be a help. There's a manifestation of the Spirit, isn't it?
To profit with all is not that everybody's going to get the benefit of it.
I think it is. That word every really, I believe, is literally each, Mr. Doherty. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each to profit with all. I mean, if the Lord has given you something, he hasn't given it to aggrandize you, or give you glory, or to give you one in the world, he's given you that to give to the saints. Isn't that the bearing of it? Oh, we can't put these things to ourselves. They were never intended that they should be. What we need to be is to be very thankful and very much alert and very much an exercise as to ask oneself, am I doing my part in that local company? Something gone wrong. Am I the man that's allowing the thing to go wrong? Is that where the wrong is? Have I ought to be doing something and I haven't? I'm going to be exercising. I got to look at some of the brethren that I'm trying to get on and telling them that things are going wrong. It may be me. Yes, it's not very practical when you get that very often. People people will soon tell you when they think this is wrong and that's wrong. Yes, you might see them for another month at the meeting. No, oh, that would be like that.
Yes, sir. There's a respect for the number in this sentence.
Well, I think, you know, there was a statement we sometimes quoted from Mr. Darby's writing that if there was more devotion, there'd be more gifts. I think what Mr. Darby was saying that we lose a lot because people are not devoted enough to use it. I should suggest that if the company is getting reduced in numbers, I think the Lord will still give these gifts, or the Spirit will still give these gifts to keep that meeting going. But why suppose there's 12 of us staying in a meeting? Why give me 12 gifts if there's 12 of us? What makes sense, you see? If we get the 6, we'll look at the Spirit may double the gift in every one of us. If we get the 3, he may turn.
Yes, is it all more round there?
Well,
it's said about that, but not all of them even deserve it, isn't it?
Let's
oh, yes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a pretty heavy job. Does
it not sometimes work out that when the number is new, the exercise is deeper?
Well, it ought to be, I'm sure of that.
I can hear the clock must be well over 40 now. We're careful about these things, but in a certain district anyhow,
I got the gospel preachers, they always turned in, but nobody they couldn't get a preacher from the outside, they couldn't get in, they set the table. I forget the other job that they said, well, perhaps he is, brother, and he said, I think that's the only thing left. Well, anybody did another meeting, thank you for the honor, put it on the other level as well. Wait a minute. No, here it is, anyway. It should be an exercise, of course, with us today. Well, it's not only a matter of being exercised. What is my gift? Rather ask myself, am I available? Am I always available to the saints? That when nothing is needed, whatever it may be I have, that it's there at their disposal.
What does the Lord say to Moses? What hast thou in thy hand? He uses that which is available to the saints.
In another meeting in Scotland, that some of these brethren might remember, the Lord made me do two things on Wednesday afternoon. Oh, I said, I cannot do two. I've already said out of this. I spoke to another brother. Oh, well, that's at least I've never done that in my life. Well, I thought, no, no. So I said, well, then, we'll just have to give that up. And the brother turned back. Well, he says, does it mean that you can't do so? I said, yes. Already says, I'll do it. Three lads come back in the afternoon, I'm not kidding. I hope you would, yeah. Never done it before, three lads come back in the afternoon, with that one fancy.
One fourth into the evening, that's right. I feel impressed with this word, Holy Spirit, George. I think in the company, if folks realize how they can contribute to the spirit of the meeting, leaning upon the activity of the Holy Spirit that you set up in relationship to it. Sisters in the meeting, I think, have got a bigger effect sometimes than they realize.
Yes.
Some of the best work that's gone on in recent years, I'm thinking of the revival in the meeting. Started with two aged sisters. One of them was 84 and the other was 85. They laid hold upon God in prayer and it wasn't done before things began to happen.
We probably have a gift that's not mentioned here, eh? The gift of prayer.
Yes.
Yeah. And the gift of faith.
Yes. Yes. Prophecy. Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
But let us just hold on to these words, the manifestation of the Spirit. I sometimes say about this, some of us will be badly mystical this morning. I just Someone walked down to the meeting, I thought, well, I wonder what they'll do with so-and-so this morning when so-and-so's not there. But we missed. And I often said, it's a poor thing, you know, if we don't get to the meeting and we never miss, eh? Well, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. When the thing is in evidence, everybody's going to get the benefit. To one, it isn't only the Spirit, you see, the wisdom, it's the Word. Word of wisdom. One may be ever so wise, but when the Word is needed, say that it is. Wisdom, it's being said, is the application of knowledge, the right application of it. I like to think of it as the solution of moral problems. It's the way to solve some little difficulties. Come along, somebody just gives the right word, it solves the problem.
Words of the wise and secret are more heard than him that crieth among fools.
Right.
Just one or two words.
Solomon said, bring me a sword.
He saw it all right. You may remember some time ago a problem, a big problem we had in our local meeting in Eden. And there were two or three meetings about it, wondering just the right course to take. And a brother whose voice is seldom ever heard in the public meetings is always there. You remember, he gave a word of wisdom and solved the problem. Remember? Wouldn't he be? However, that's the, these things come, you see, the Father has been said, he has given away this thing, but it's there. Yes, from the most unexpected corner, he put in a suggestion, and within, I think, a week, wasn't the problem of the Son.
In Old Testament language, this is the priest with Urim and Thummim.
Oh, yes, yes, I think that's the idea, yes, right. Gaining the Lord's mind for these problems.
There again, an emphasis upon the priest, one who can draw near to God and take up the exercise before God, or having the word from God to answer the question. Different knowledge.
Well, that's knowledge, isn't it? That is, of course, the gift you believe in, not the knowing, simply the knowing of these things. To another, the word, but mark you again, this twice in this verse, it's the word. Isn't merely the thing in a brother's mind. No, it's the point is that when the moment has come to use the thing, the brother has been there and he's used it. It's the word.
In other words, there's no point in reading the Bible at home, and then come to the Bible reading, and we'll get the benefit of the word of knowledge.
That means
it. Does this mean that the word of knowledge, it's the word that's that, that it's expressed so that each one can understand it, I guess.
You know, it was the commandment of Ephesians that grace is given along with the measure of the gift. And it may be applied in the right spirit.
Well, that's, as you say, that's Ephesians 4. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. That's the impression we get from that, of course, the ability to use it rightly.
The next word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is to say, what the God of the word may be to unleash the light of the rest of the manner.
Well, actually, this word for gift, I think, does grace underlies it, Caris, isn't it? It's a gracious act of God and to bestowing it upon us. The thing itself is a gracious thing.
Proverbs will give you the right thing to do. Ecclesiastes will tell you the right time to do it. But the Canticles will give you the right spirit in which to do it. There's three. We need all three of them.
That tells us the spirit of the meaning.
Then to another, faith by the same spirit. We've not some stupendous act of faith and some sense of God. Well, I think, well, lacking something that I'm Wouldn't I know that, would maybe? There may be a special impression in that state of God that I haven't got.
You mean to go out of the work or something like that?
Well, not exactly, but Paul speaks about faith to remove mountains. I mean, we've known some saints of God that have done some remarkable things, that have such absolute confidence in the Lord. Sure enough, the thing has happened. Didn't think it would, but it did.
You mean Father Moore, perhaps, the Lord of
it? It is, man. I am probably outstanding.
Yeah. I was thinking of a brother once. I don't know if it's all of Moore and the children, that it was called the Lord, it was just a delicious discussion. And then to get custom money, it was decision to get a share, they don't want to start with. They went to the station to pay. And some brothers are not in the station, and they were one of the people.
That's it. Oh, I believe it is. We would make some extraordinary things on that line. Sure. And then to another, the gifts of healing, I the same spirit. Here's a point that so far I've never been able to solve. Every other gift seems in the singular, but this one's in the plural. The gifts. I've long thought about that as to whether it means that whoever had this gift, they couldn't only give one thing, perhaps another. And I'm perfectly certain that had the assembly remained in its unity, I don't think any one of us would be that many doctors. But we know that this thing has, in fact, as far as I understand it, I think it's been lost because of the breakup of the assembly. And for one community to care until we're clear, preponderance of this sort of thing only shows the bottom of the slayer, I think. But I'm persuaded the gift is there, but conditions hardly allow it to be used. That we've known it yours, and known it used successfully, dependent upon the Lord.
You think the reason of it being put in the plural, that it was given to more than one person?
Well, maybe, Mr. Audrey, perhaps some of these other gifts were given to more than one, though.
Do you think the word of knowledge is business, isn't it?
I was thinking of the apostles, they were all given, weren't they?
Yes.
These gifts. What? The gifts of healing.
Would this be physical healing or moral?
I think it's physical, all right, intended, right? I mean, looking through the book of the Acts, as our mother's called attention, Aeneas and people like that, a young man that fell from the loft, etc. Indeed, Mr. Darby himself said that he performed the gift of healing at the outset.
I think he also said somewhere that it was becoming quite a nuisance in his work. Creating a notoriety that was hindering the spiritual aspect of work. Quite a useful testimony, I think, in context with some of these vocal domains that emphasis upon it.
And yet, at the beginning, really, it was given, wasn't it, as a confirmation that the ministry that they had, it was from God.
It was a sign to the unbelievers, wasn't it?
Confirmed unto them by signs and miracles and
well, now that's maybe, as we've said, the difficulty today, that you see, people's minds are so material that if you were ill and I came along and had this power and put you right, oh, that would be a claim, wonderful. Oh, that would be a claim, wonderful. If I said that your friend came to the meeting and converted on Sunday night, I'd probably never give it a second. That's the danger, isn't it?
Like a brother near us, named Mr. Love, someone had brought to him the very bad state of his testimony. Then he laid his hand upon him. He said, "It was weak." And that was the truth.
Oh, I think it's there. What? We mustn't think that this thing has been taken away. And that all healing is of the devil or something like that. No. Here it's something that was given by the Spirit of God. I believe if the conditions were right,
more healing. There's no doubt about it that the patients may all but one blood that is associated with them. Blood medical work like that.
And just as well that all these things and our affections be more the law than anything. If we're going to call attention to ourselves by them, well, we find the next time the Lord just isn't there, that's all.
We mustn't limit God.
This is a danger, of course, isn't there? That if we are not spiritual enough to discern, we may be interfering with the work of God and seeking to restore a person. That person may be under the hand of God in justice.
As a matter of fact, I was thinking about that a little earlier. James, on the one hand, speaks of mercy, but so does John. And he says if he hasn't committed any sins, he has to find that out.
Right. Well, if we were more real, true, faithful, would we be much trouble? James, he wants to hear about the laid aside the wound to be required of the Lord.
And here, of course, it's on the positive side of dealing with these difficulties, even though the working of miracles. Acts of power, again, I think, is behind that word miracles. One is that some saints of God were, I suppose, dependent upon the Lord. In effect, it's a very remarkable thing.
The fact of the matter is that if we don't see them today, there has been a manifestation of them at the beginning of the church's history. And this has been said, the power is still there, resident in the believer. And if unhindered, the things could still take place today.
Probably in this
day. Yes.
Very good. Now that's the great point here. That's the point here, aren't you?
As has been rightly mentioned, and this is to himself man. When Paul, that is James, named James, from Saul to Paul, the Spirit notices that it was just on the occasion when he called down darkness upon the consul in Rome. Yes, that is the Lord. Yes. The very occasion when he made a man blind was when his name was James. Saul.
Then there's the discerning of spirits to another. You see, some of us are likely to be led astray, but there are some who can tell at once that things are wrong. Discerning of spirits. To another kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. I do not doubt this has largely fallen away because of it's not needed. The word of prophecy is constantly needed and these other things. But it's very, very seldom there's any need of an interpreter of tongues or a giving of tongues.
Would there be a dictation to listen to sign of failure? It was Peter that saw a bunch done there.
Well, see what you mean. Yes, yes, why? Detected it. Well, see what the man said.
Now, he's been concerned. Only last week it was reported that they were speaking in tongues. Where does that come from? It's not from the Holy Spirit. Where is it coming from?
Well, there's a tongues meeting. Let me tell you again in your castle that Norman Anderson went to before he was speaking. And there's a man there definitely spoke in tongues in a Japanese, and I've said that man spoke in a Japanese. I said, I'm not prepared to repeat what he said and walked out of the meeting. And then he noticed it was that one, didn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, Norman just concluded there must have been Norman Anderson for a minute. Walked out of the meeting. There is a way, said, to see it has happened in Corinth, and I suppose conditions can come about.
One's doubtful about the thing, you know. It seems to me that many of these gifts were given that for the foundation of the assembly. It seems as though that they passed away. You take a man who was language to get the French and the and then learn the Congo language. Well, that's the gift that's going to come to them. Surely, if there is reality, God is going to give them the gift, isn't he? So that they're going to be able to speak in that tongue. That's my difficulty with regard to the thing today.
I think that there might be something in that, because I know that many who have gone out as missionaries, they never fully grasp the African language. There are others become quite easy to them. Quite easily, the African did not language to speak quite easy. Would you say anything in that way?
It may be the Lord certainly helping some and giving them ability for that very work to which he's called them for. Here, see, the miraculous gift that a man could speak in another tongue. But remember what Mr. Dudley has already said that happened in the New Testament in those days. They were altogether dependent upon the humble minister. And if someone coming in of a different tongue was to hear the gospel, then someone would have to speak it in his tongue. And it seems the Lord Spirit gave it to them.
Not just to see him as perhaps a brother coming from Germany, for instance, to when God with him, getting up and thanking the Lord in his own strength. And the family would he enjoy it. That's not what it means, is it?
Oh no, that man's just thinking in his own mother tongue, I suppose. No, this is obviously something that Paul says to them a little bit later in chapter 14. He says, I accept above you all of these gifts. But he's not standing for the gift at all. As we'll see when we get to chapter 14, he was greater than any of them in the exercise of this gift. He said, say, I'd sooner speak one word to you that's going to help you into the knowledge of the truth, and 10,000 words in another tongue.
Isn't this the bottom?
Well, yeah, that's the knowledge of things there. Point out, quite.
What well, has to be the one who can be tested?
Well, that's what they're saying, you say to another, the interpretation of that.
Is the lack of this part of your anything to do with the spirit of being free?
Well, then again, you see, if in this company today, all these gifts were in function and exercise, there would be no doubt the Spirit of God was indicating we are the company. And there's no other company outside of us at all in which he's dwelling. That's why we said it's the breakup that we are suffering from with all these. The Spirit of God cannot point to any one company, but that's why we know it's wrong.
In verse 11 it says, according as he pleases, by the first of the Spirit.
Yes, I think that's there. We want to get on to that. I think we better get on to this. But all these workers, you see, they operate. They're not maybe there, they're an operator. All these operate that by one and the self same Spirit divide into every man severally as he will. That while everyone distinctively is operating, it's the self same Spirit that's operating underneath. That's the power, underlying.
This is a powerful verse in connection with the personality of the Spirit. You're not just an individual, not just a force, not just a power.
For he says that the body is one, that's our bodies, our natural bodies, and as many members, all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ, or so also the Christ. It's often been said, and I think it's right, that this time it is not Christ, our Lord, personally, but the body is the anointed vessel in the power of the Spirit.
Just to get an interesting verse of the Genesis in connection with Adam and Eve, and he called their name Adam.
Yes.
Do you think it could be lined up with this particular verse?
Well, I think it's to mark out that there is a body in this world anointed by the Holy Ghost. That just as our Lord was here, of course, in his own body, anointed by the Holy Ghost and the Christ, now the anointed vessel in this world today is the saints of God. Yes, I think that's what this verse means. because he's not speaking of persons. I mean persons in their individuality, but a company and a united anointing together that have come under that anointing. As far as I understand it, that's the meaning of this term. So also is the anointed, that anointed one.
This is often reminded us at Pentecost that the Spirit not only dwelt upon each individual member, but it filled the place where they were sitting. Well, now that's the thought here, isn't it? There's the company as well as the individual.
Well, I've often checked in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Here it is, coming from the reaction of the Spirit, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and then the individual side, and have been all made to drink into or unto, I think, is it not called, one Spirit. I like that word drink. I think it's a very, very nice word to use. That while here we are, united together in the power of the Spirit of God, as one anointed company, we each drink into that one Spirit. Would that sort of drink, do you think, take a little of spiritual refreshment, spiritual supply to function in that gift? That's what I thought about the word drink.
It's not water that's in the gift.
Right, and they're working out in local conditions. It's doing it just in, nor you in the place that I'm not in. No, we're all in this baptized into one body, and all made to drink of one spirit.
The thought of the body is vital and true. You can't wrench the members out of the body.
No, let us remember again, we're still dealing with the local meeting here, and not with the body universally. So it says, for the body is not one member, but many. Now the next few little statements I thought we might look at, oh yes, we've time for them. I mustn't go 2 hours today, I wouldn't have anything to tell. It's not one member, it's composed of many. Now perhaps the dangers, whether they be coming in at Corinth, I don't know, but they are likely to come in with us. And one of the dangers with us is underestimating what the Lord has given us, or what the Spirit has given us. Better keep to the chapter. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. I believe that's one thing we are sadly suffering from in our local meetings today, is underestimation.
How have you been using this word underestimation too many years, Lord? You don't mind by that.
For the foot. But then, the whole body, aren't they? I mean, the natural body's been mentioned. What I say with the eye, that stops me from stumbling and hurting other parts of my body, doesn't it? And the same with regard to the spiritual side. But if I say something in the Word of God, the Lord hasn't just given me to say that for my own pleasure. He's given me to say that for the whole, the benefit of the whole.
Well, that's the point here. But we still think that the danger is there. You see, you're saying, well, but then, may you go on around the planet of the body. Now, I'll come to the meeting, Matthew. Oh, yes, I'll reach the right place, I'll be there.
Well, what's your answer to the last clause? Is it, therefore, not of the body?
Well, my answer would be to say, my dear brother, my dear sister, you're as much needed in that meeting as anybody else that's in. You're as much part of it as I am. That's what I said. If the whole body were an eye, that's the difference, you see. All the hearing where now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, not as it pleased me, but as it pleased him. That's the point. We are greatly cast upon God today, aren't we, because of the divisions that come in.
Ah, yes, right.
We miss more than we sometimes realize, I'm sure, through the lack of contact with other people. Practically, we just see it. It may be that perhaps in all of our lives we have probably observed someone in some service.
Well, that's the thing I would like to do. But it's not the thing I'm given the power to do.
It says it pleased God. I may think I'd be better there, but God knows better than I know.
I remember in. Tell you this, little one, I was once accused of deliberately imitating somebody. And I said, no, I don't speak like that. But I said, no, if you say you're imitating so-and-so, you come and tell me, but not that. That's the sort of thing that happened, you see. No, take our own place in the body. We don't need to imitate anybody. Get on with what the Lord has given us as it has pleased him.
Is the necessity there for exercise to know what?
Oh, I'm quite sure of that, and that's what I think our brother had in mind in speaking of spiritual laziness.
Yes, absolutely.
And all the church, if the very reading of this very reading today ought to exercise all our hearts with that, am I quite sure that I'm doing the function the Lord has committed to me?
Would not the footprint set forward in movement, the doctor said, in contrast to laziness, with the foot that opened, you walk with it.
Sorry, open it. You see, I thought you were going to say something about it. You said, no, now you've started.
That's kind of made it. I'll just leave it
here for a minute. Yes, well, I mean, Mr. Doherty's already pointed out another one about the eye. If we did take them, well, the ear, of course, is reception. The eye is perception. The ear is reception. But I think in the foot, as you say, the idea is good.
It's not a distinction, isn't it?
Well, that's very good. Very good.
Isn't that the tongue, I suppose? We have a great value of the tongue, don't we? But I think the walk, the foot, the walk, the hands that serve, and the eye that sees, and the nose that smells.
You know what the scripture says? You know what the scripture says about the tongue, all right, don't you? It's perhaps the worst member of the lot.
Well,
sets on the fire of hell. That's what the tongue can do.
It's a great work of young little dressing. You still have a little dearer life than it's gone. You remember yesterday, the one.
That's right.
You remember picked him off in his way, and you don't have to work
it
in
it. That's
the whole point I give you, yes. Mr. Doherty says, even if some of us get down to studying the word a little bit, then with a fresh light come. Well, next time you read the Bible reading, perhaps it's no thing to pass it on to the saints. Not for ourselves, but for the rest of the world. There's just one more danger I thought we might touch a moment, and that was in verse 20 or 21. The eye cannot say on the other hand, I have no need of thee. And it will be reminded me again that at times I've called this underestimation. Overestimation is my sorry, that it is. Overestimation.
Just one little point, Lord, before you leave the previous circle of interest, with a view to take taking up our function, we're not going to limit our usefulness only to the local assembly, are we? In the view of the broken state of the church, we would still seek to be in this world for God in relation to the manifest need of the question of this transmission. Although you're going to exercise in relation to our usefulness in the local company, that isn't going to be the only sphere of our activity.
Well, no, but unless my activities get beyond that local sphere, it's with a view to getting the people there where they ought to be in function.
By all means.
Yes, that's the only way I know. Help the folks on the road to join. Try to get them on the right front.
No, but it's certainly up to that to be exercised before God as to what our place is. I think you're opening up a very big subject for every one of our hearts. There's a grand opportunity for living for God at the close, but it's not a question that needs to be answered.
Oh, maybe not. We say, well, I'm glad that if I didn't think that, I wouldn't be where I am. That I'm connected with a company of saints where this is carried on to the best of our knowledge and ability. And as I said, if my exercise is ever outside of that company, it's only to try and get other people to where I believe is the right place and not help them in what I believe is a wrong situation.
For both Christian and unconverted.
Yes. Come along and see if they said you'd never be to them. Come along and see for yourself. Well, I know before I go, of course, what's going to happen. All right, here are. I believe this is right and here I am.
They have a sort of mad meaning, and all these gifts be exercised, wouldn't it?
I think so. I think that's the idea in this very passage.
Yeah, it all might be it, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it isn't all men the word of prophecy all the time, you know? No. It's when the thing is needed, it's there, and comes into activity. And that's the point of it.
This would cover the whole of the church's period down here, wouldn't it?
Yes,
whatever you can do.
The local aspect of it.
Aye.
It doesn't really just have the talk of brothers and anything. And they all want to do. So this usually on the day from the day. Night of day taking part.
I believe this is only a matter of taking part at the breaking of bread and things like that. There's so many different gifts here. All the things come to life that are needed, and the brothers are there, I believe.
So it mustn't be that complaint to the company at all, then.
Well, not if it's merely a matter, I shouldn't say merely, but just a matter. If perhaps brothers standing on their feet and giving thanks to the Lord, that's only one function, maybe the greatest one, but it's only one function in the local nation. I believe there's other things there, yes. What about the brother who looks after the door, the books at the door, and gives them a cheery invite to the meeting when people come in? There's some brothers at the door, perhaps, who will turn away when they see them there. Hey, not there for the job at all, you see.
The sisters in the chapter, too.
Well, they've got their place in the meeting, we don't deny that at all, and they say, well, let us beware of the two dangers, anyhow, underestimating ourselves. We don't meet these brothers that overestimate themselves, you know, and think you'll be sunk if they don't come along. Well, never let us get there, eh?
Wouldn't you say there are other gifts not mentioned here?
Well, there are, but these are mentioned, as we said. Well, further down the chapter, there's many more, as a matter of fact, Mr. Lee.
Divinity